This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Fire threats expand. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, December 8th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
As wind continues to wreak more havoc with Southern California wildfires, a new blaze has broken out north of San Diego, and the weather is not promising.
Sexual misconduct allegations take down two more members of Congress, Minnesota Senator Al Franken and Arizona Representative Trent Franks.
The House and Senate have passed a measure to keep the government funded for two more weeks, avoiding a government shutdown this weekend.
And getting rid of some of your kids' stuffed animals as the holidays approach.
Somehow, the parents I spoke with swore that these animals seem to somehow reproduce overnight, yeah. And then all of a sudden they realize their kid's room is packed with stuffed animals, but trying to throw them away without basically facing the wrath of their children can be very difficult.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron on reducing the stuffed animal population humanely, also known as parents afraid to be firm with their kids about clutter. That story in about 20 minutes. Still fueled by whipping winds, wildfires continue in densely populated Southern California. Yesterday was day four. There's a new blaze north of San Diego now that exploded in size in just a few hours, and there's more bad news. Dangerous conditions are in the forecast at least until Sunday. The blaze has destroyed hundreds of houses and forced many Los Angeles area schools to close. Flames hopscotched over highways and railroad tracks, and residents rushed to evacuate their homes with only minutes warning, some leaving behind holiday gifts. People feared for the safety of animals, from cats to llamas. LA County Fire Chief Darrell Osby warned that residents may be asked to evacuate again.
We have no projected rainfall in the area for the next 3 weeks, and all the fuel in the county of Los Angeles that is all the live fuel moisture is at a critical state.
About 200,000 residents were evacuated from their homes at one point, although some were due to return last evening. Authorities said the four biggest fires were whipped up by the region's notorious westward Santa Ana winds that could reach hurricane strength. Saying nothing he has done as a senator has brought dishonor on the institution. Minnesota Democratic Senator Al Franken has announced that he's resigning in the coming weeks in the face of sexual misconduct allegations.
It gave some people the false impression that I was admitting to doing things that, in fact, I haven't done. Some of the allegations against me are simply not true. Others, I remember very differently.
Hours later, Arizona Republican Congressman Trent Franks said he too would be resigning due to sexual harassment allegations. Apparently, two female staffers complained about him discussing surrogacy with them. Capitol Hill has been busy with claims of sexual misconduct and harassment in recent months. Michigan Democratic Congressman John Conyers this week said he would be leaving over such matters. Another development here, the House Ethics Committee wants to speak to a former congressional staffer of Texas Republican Congressman Blake Farenthold, who alleges she was sexually harassed by him. Let's examine some of the political fallout from Mr. Franken's resignation. We're joined now by Caitlin Huey Burns, national political reporter at Real Clear Politics. Caitlin, what now?
Democrats clearly want to claim some kind of moral high ground on this issue, and the sexual assault issue having been really, you know, pervasive across different industries across the United States. And there have been lots of questions facing members of Congress from both parties about why Congress as an institution is kind of lagging behind others in terms of dealing with the issue of sexual assault. And so Democrats see with Franken's resignation, they're kind of throwing the spotlight back onto Republicans who are facing some issues as well. Of course, President Trump has multiple accusations against him, as we well know, and Roy Moore, the candidate in Alabama, who will be on the ballot for that special election next week. facing multiple allegations, some involving underage girls. And Republicans have tried to distance themselves from Roy Moore, but they also know that he could very well be elected. And so the question is how Republicans will handle him if he is elected to the Senate. And Democrats are trying to use the Franken news as a way to apply that kind of pressure.
What about in all this, though, due process? Not to take the side of the politicians or the accusers here, but I mean, these guys seemingly are stepping down just based on finger pointing, right?
Right. So there was an ethics investigation launched into Al Franken last week. Of course, they obviously haven't made their conclusions yet because Al Franken has now said he's going to resign in the coming weeks. There are questions, though, among some senators about the validity of the ethics committee. Kirsten Gillibrand, senator from New York, who was the first to call for Franken's resignation among Democrats, she said that she didn't really have faith in the ethics committee to do the right thing eventually. And that's pretty striking as well. And I'd also point out that your point is important because that is the argument certainly being made by voters in Alabama who are supporting Roy Moore, saying that and other Republicans saying that he'll go through the process if and when he is elected. But I think it's also important that, you know, there are other lawmakers facing some allegations who haven't been dealt with. Blake Fahrenthold, for example, is a congressman from Texas. He paid about $84,000 in taxpayer funds to settle a sexual harassment case in his office. He has said that he will pay those funds back. A lot of people are saying, well, why isn't he being called on to resign? And the Speaker's office has said that the Ethics Committee already reached a conclusion on his part a few years ago and determined that he did not do anything wrong. And so I think a lot of people are questioning kind of where the bars are being set here.
We're speaking with Caitlin Huey Burns, national political reporter at Real Clear Politics. If the Alabama Republican candidate, Roy Moore, wins that special election, is it possible, and I know this has been discussed, but Republicans may try to claim what we call, quote, the moral high ground by ushering him out of office in some way?
Well, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, has said that he wants the Ethics Committee to look into Moore if he is elected to the Senate. I think you're going to hear from some Republicans saying that he should step down once he is, in fact, in office if voters in Alabama decide that they want to send him there. But I really think the reaction is going to be mixed, particularly because, unlike the Democrats, Republicans are being squeezed in some way by Donald Trump, who is the president, who has endorsed Roy Moore explicitly. You also have the Republican National Committee that has endorsed Roy Moore and is spending money in Alabama on his behalf. So the question I have is, how do Republicans handle this if Roy Moore gets to the Senate, having the president of the party and the party, you know, general apparatus also having been supportive of this candidate?
Thanks, Caitlin. That's Caitlin Huey Burns, national political reporter at Real Clear Politics. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell's dedicated small business advisors mean you'll always get the right solution for your business. Get up to $300 off select servers and business PCs with Intel Core processors now until December 17th. Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL. Britain and the European Union have reached a deal to move forward on talks about trade and a transition period after they agreed to the outline of their divorce, known as Brexit, or Britain exiting the European Union. The European Commission said enough progress had been made after the two sides worked into the wee hours of this morning over an issue involving the Irish border. The Commission gave its verdict in a statement after intense talks, which resulted in British Prime Minister Theresa May taking an early morning flight to Brussels to announce the deal.
The deal we've struck will guarantee the rights of more than 3 million EU citizens living in the UK and of 1 million UK citizens living in the EU.
The Commission's recommendation will now go to the European Union Summit of Leaders taking place next week. Moving to talks about trade and a Brexit transition is crucial to keep trade flowing between Europe, the world's largest trading bloc, and its sixth largest national economy after Britain leaves 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
We're in retirement communities built on golf courses, horse stables, and other usually serene sites have been engulfed by flames as the San Diego area has become the latest front in California's wildfire fight. The fire broke out yesterday amid dry, hot, windy conditions across the region. Tim Chavez is a fire behavior analyst.
It's going to move in different directions, going to be terrain driven, so the crews are going to have to be very careful on their position when those transitions happen, and sometimes those can be very difficult to predict.
The latest fire exceeded 6 square miles in a matter of hours and burned dozens of houses as it tore through Fallbrook, known for its avocado orchards and horse ranches. Sexual misconduct allegations have toppled two in Washington, Democratic Senator Al Franken and Republican Congressman Trent Franks. Franken announced yesterday that he would resign in a sometimes emotional speech.
I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office.
Meanwhile, 8-term Congressman Franks of Arizona is resigning after revealing that he discussed surrogacy with two female staffers. The staunch conservative said in a statement that he never physically intimidated, coerced, or attempted to have any sexual contact with any member of his congressional staff. But he says he discussed the surrogacy process and became insensitive as to how the discussion of such an intensely personal topic might affect others. The former doctor for the U.S. women's gymnastics team has been sentenced to 60 years in federal prison on child pornography counts, an effective life term that prosecutors requested to reflect admitted decades of sexual abuse against dozens of young girls, ranging from family friends to decorated Olympic athletes. Michaela Maroney, an Olympic gold medal winning gymnast who was among Nassar's victims, attended yesterday's sentencing. In a statement, she said Nassar deserves to spend the rest of his life in prison. It's not often we celebrate failure, but that's exactly what one pop-up museum is set to do. The museum dedicated to failed products will kick off a U.S. tour in Los Angeles. Among its displays, the DeLorean DMC-12, a Donald Trump board game, coffee-flavored Coca-Cola, and Colgate brand frozen dinners.
Mm. I'm not aware of that one.
That makes me think of toothpaste.
Yeah.
It just doesn't go.
Well, no wonder it's in now the failure museum.
Yep.
Wow. Or it was sort of like freshen your breath and clean your teeth while eating a frozen dinner. I don't know. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Facing an expected holiday invasion of teddy bears, plush dogs, and soft bunnies, grown-ups are tackling the delicate task of ditching the old ones. Curbing stuffed animal sprawl can require subterfuge, empathy, and sometimes blindfolds. Who knew it could be this complicated? It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. Ellen set this up.
I looked at how difficult it can be to part ways with stuffed animals. So children obviously love them. They are very soothing and comforting, lots of fun. People love giving them. They're good for all ages, both genders. It's this popular gift, but they gradually become dreaded by parents and doctors, teachers, and a lot of other adults who have to grapple with overpopulation. They can harbor allergens. They get dirty, smelly, torn, threadbare, and they can take up far too much room.
I think mostly for parents, it's like the dust and that a kid is maybe putting near his mouth if he curls up with it when he or she goes to bed.
Yeah. And somehow the parents I spoke with swore that these animals seem to somehow reproduce overnight.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they realize their kid's room is packed with stuffed animals, but trying to throw them away without basically facing the wrath of their children can be very difficult.
Ah, sounds like the children are in charge here. What's what do the experts recommend?
Well, I talked to some professional organizers, including one of the most famous decluttering gurus named Marie Kondo, and she suggested blindfolding the most special stuffed animals before you're ready to say goodbye. And she does that because she feels that the eyes of stuffed animals give off the energy that they are alive.
Oh, geez.
So if you cover the eyes, it won't give off that energy anymore, and it can make parting ways a little easier. I talked to another professional organizer in Illinois, and she really encourages clients, adults and children, to pause as they say goodbye. And she advises them to slow down and be quiet. It's a very gentle moment. And then to help her clients really say goodbye, she offers to take these bags of stuffed animals away herself.
Blindfolding a stuffed animal, that sounds like it's a kidnapping in progress or something.
I have had some mobster suggestions as well, but another complicating factor here is that it's very difficult to find a new home for your stuffed animal friends. Yeah. Many charities really see them as harboring lots of pests, or they're often more worn than the original owner realizes that they are. And so a lot of charities don't accept them or are very stringent about the ones that they do accept.
Thanks, Ellen. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at less than $15. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code HOLIDAY to get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code HOLIDAY.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, December 8th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Dry, windy conditions continue to fan Southern California wildfire flames. Franken of Minnesota and Franks of Arizona resigned from Congress over sex misconduct allegations. Two students were fatally shot at a high school in northwest New Mexico. Bitcoin jumped over $19,000 at one point yesterday. Falcons over the Saints last night. World Cup champion goalie Hope Solo wants to be the next president of U.S. soccer. And a great layaway payoff story by a secret Santa. That story in about 20 minutes. The Labor Department releases the November jobs report today. Who's hiring? We're joined now by Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, for a preview. Mark, expectations?
Yeah, this is the report that covers the month of November, and we're expecting a report that really shows the job market remains strong. We had 4.1% unemployment reported for the previous reading of October, and in that reading we were still getting some distortions that were the result of being whipped around from the flooding and hurricanes over the previous months. So in that month we had 261,000 jobs added for October. This time around we think we'll be a little closer to 200,000, and at this stage of the economic expansion, that's quite good, actually.
All right. Are we seeing anything in terms of end-of-year trends that might carry into 2018 for those maybe kicking around the idea of looking for a job or perhaps identifying a career?
Sure. Well, I like to mention to people who think they might want to look for work that this is actually a better time of year to look than many people think. One of the reasons for that is there are holiday parties galore, whether it's someone else's company holding a holiday party or social gatherings where you can basically network. And you can be remarkably effective in sort of exploring what opportunities might be out there. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, set on leaving your current job, but to see what's going on is a good thing. And I always like to point out that if you're starting to network when you've lost a job, that's too late. Yeah. It really needs to be a continuous effort. And finally, many managers have a slower workflow this time of year, and that means that they might be more apt to go out and have a cup of coffee, have a conversation about what they see as the hiring environment, either in the coming weeks, months, or in the coming year. Mm. An informational interview always sort of takes the stress out of the conversation, as opposed to sort of knocking on their door and saying, hey, I need a job.
Where are we on the wage front in November?
We had average hourly earnings rise 2.4% in October year over year, and that's pretty consistent with what we've been seeing. And while I don't expect any big change in the November report that we're due to get next, what I do think is that as long as we have the unemployment rate at 4.1% or lower, we will see an acceleration in wages. We've seen that over the past couple of years where we finally climbed out of the 1.5% kind of malaise that we had, and now we're at roughly 2.5%. If we get into the 3% range, as I expect in 2018, barring the truly unforeseen, I think we'll see a more substantial increase in wages. Of course, the unintended impact of having a tax bill that is meant to juice the economy is that we could have higher inflation. And guess what the Federal Reserve does in that environment? Raises interest rates more.
We're speaking with senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick at Bankrate.com, talking about the November jobs report. When we talk about jobs being created, not to poo-poo things, these are good numbers. Are they good jobs that are being created?
I think by and large, yes. They could always be better. We have an economy that's dominated by white-collar jobs or the service sector, although it's been interesting. In the ADP report, that's sort of a precursor to the report we're due to get from the Labor Department, we saw really strong jobs growth in manufacturing there. Construction took a time out because that had gotten some help from the rebuilding from the storms and hurricane activity. But yeah, I think by and large, we are seeing a positive trend, but this is not your father's economy to the extent that, you know, all these jobs are not going to be in manufacturing. And we're now having to be competitive with the global economy, meaning there's always an opportunity to send jobs elsewhere, either across the country or across the world. And managers or executives have to make a decision also whether they want to invest in labor or technology or automation. So there are a lot of things that are competing against workers, so to speak.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's been an up-and-down season for the Buffalo Bills, though they're still in the hunt for a playoff spot. You might remember that things hit a low point last month during a 47-10 blowout loss to the New Orleans Saints when a man leapt out of the stands and ran across the field naked. The man, who wisely didn't wait until December to pull off this stunt, perhaps fearing hypothermia, was sentenced yesterday. 29-year-old Tristan Lambright admitted the violation in Orchard Park Town Court. He'll have to do 25 hours of community service and pay $400 in fines and fees. The good news for Lambright was, after his arrest, fans actually rallied around him, offering praise for his physique and money for his defense, saying that perhaps he was a better runner than the team's players.
Oh!
But he won't be able to show that off at a game anytime soon. His sentence includes a one-year ban from the stadium, which seems a little light.
It does seem a little light. Normally those are forever bans.
I feel
right?
like if this had happened at a Giants game that you were at, I feel like they would have been a lifetime ban.
It
would have been allowed within 100 yards of the stadium.
What if actually this guy is a good runner?
Yeah.
Could the Bills play some semantics and say, okay, he's banned from the stadium seats, but if we could get him on the field,
right, bring him into the players' entrance in the locker room.
Right.
Yeah, I see you.
I'm guessing some of this bravery came during, say, some tailgating.
Sure.
Of which, there are epic videos on YouTube of is just Bills tailgates that are so out of hand, or is that
Buffalo
what happens
Bills,
like a normal game?
Buffalo Bills, yeah.
Buffalo Bills fans are nuts with tailgating.
I have heard this. I've never attended one, but I've heard that Bills tailgates are a step above the rest of the NFL many respects.
Leaping off of pickup trucks like onto card tables, like WWE moves and stuff like that.
So this is really not out of character at all, which is probably why he only got a one year sentence, because this is probably the least of the problems for the security folks up at Orchard Park.
We're glad this is all you did.
Congratulations. Yeah. And, Gordon, there's a chunky squirrel in one neighborhood who's not content to ride out the winter on his previous bounty, but is still going for more, and brazenly so, to the delight of the internet. A New Jersey family who put out a tray of gifts for local delivery workers found the display ransacked and later identified the culprit, a fat squirrel. The homeowner said her family likes to put out a tray of goodies each year for postal workers and other delivery drivers, and then offered up the objects, including candy, lip balm, tissues, and hand warmers. The woman's husband set up a camera to catch the culprit, and after discovering the thief had struck again, they reviewed the footage. The perpetrator turned out to be a particularly obese squirrel. The family says it has now squirrel-proofed the display, putting their chocolate in a jar that requires opposable thumbs. Mm. Now, I don't know if this is the case all around the country. I know in my area of New Jersey, again, where this takes place, the squirrels are voracious in my neighborhood. I know that. And we can't even put out a pumpkin on Halloween.
We
come out the next day, and the thing is just rubble.
Is that destroyed?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the squirrels.
You sure it's
very,
a squirrel?
Very aggressive, yes. Because I found them in the pumpkin before. Like, I've come home from work, and there's been a squirrel, inside the pumpkin, eating it out, hollowing it out.
They are clever and very resourceful.
Yes.
I will say. As are raccoons.
Yes.
Which are good with garbage cans. Bears don't have the same technique. Bears tip the garbage can over and then kind of stand up on two legs.
Yeah.
And then forcefully with their front paws push down and pop the lid.
Yes.
Where actually raccoons can maneuver handles and open.
Right. When you're a bear, you have a lot more inertia at your disposal there. So it's a lot easier for you.
Oh, by the way, I just got an email about your use of the word chunky to define this squirrel.
Yes.
Squirrels prefer plus size.
I used every adjective I could find.
Yeah, and real squirrels have curves, apparently. So let's go easy on this obese squirrel you referenced. Thank you, Mike. Hey, the holidays are here. Why not wow friends and family with a new type of gift, a package from Omaha Steaks. My wife loves the filet mignons. I'm a fan of the sausages. My kids prefer the burgers. You can't miss with the chicken and pork either. And that's just part of a special offer. For only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code Gordon in the search bar. That's 75% off. Here's what you get in the family gift pack for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha Steak seasoning packet. Plus, for free right now, 4 additional kielbasa sausages. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar for a 75% savings. Again, omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for joining us. Call it the perfect firestorm. The massive wildfires destroying communities over huge chunks of Southern California are being fueled by a dangerous combination of heat, overgrown foliage, suburban sprawl, and fierce winds. USA Today says at the heart of this is the West Coast quest for single-family wood-frame homes that has pushed development into the divide between urban areas and historically open brush land, much of it hilly and highly flammable. Add to that last winter's record rains, which meant lots of plant growth. That lush new vegetation dried in last summer's record temperatures and further withered over a bone-dry rainy season that has not yet begun. In other words, much of Southern California is sitting atop or surrounded by a mountain of combustible fuel simply waiting for a spark. Toss in high-pressure systems, which in turn create low humidity levels and funnel high winds from the inland deserts to the sea. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Kashenka is back with more of America's First News.
Burning wildfires that have burned almost 200,000 acres across Southern California are showing little sign of abating as a new out-of-control blaze threatens Camp Pendleton and killed at least a dozen racehorses in San Diego County. This woman rushed to a local ranch to try to rescue horses that were in the path of the flames.
The fire was coming right at us. I mean, within matters of minutes, it had spread. And you could feel the heat from the fire. The truck smells like smoke, you know. So it was a very short time that we had.
A red flag warning signaling critical fire weather conditions had been extended through Sunday night for Ventura and Los Angeles counties. The region's biggest fire, which is 200 miles north, has destroyed more than 400 homes and buildings. Britain and the European Union made a significant step forward today in Brexit talks after a flurry of overnight diplomacy bridged differences over the Irish border. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker.
I believe we have now made the breakthrough we needed.
But the agreement doesn't give details of how the thorny border issue will be solved, noting that much depends on the outcome of trade talks between Britain and the EU. Congress has passed a two-week stopgap spending bill, deferring until later in the month a bigger fight over what issues should be resolved before lawmakers leave Washington for the year. The measure, which will keep the government funded through December 22nd, avoids a partial government shutdown at midnight tonight. Have a question about a celebrity that only Google can answer? Well, the celebrity may also answer you. Google is testing a new feature that allows notable figures to answer users' search queries directly in the form of selfie videos posted in the Google search results. Of course, the celebrities aren't answering in real time. Google had them pre-record videos to what it already knows are some of fans' most asked questions. For example, Will Ferrell will answer the question, "Can Will Ferrell really play the drums?" Other participating celebs include Mark Wahlberg, James Franco, and Tracy Ellis Ross.
Wow. That's kind of funny. Good story. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Best Christmas song ever. A Secret Santa, by the way, is delivering some holiday cheer in Maine. I love these stories this time of year. This one's from CBS News. A couple paid off $10,000 worth of other people's layaways at the Toys R Us in South Portland, Maine. Customers won't know about the generous gift until they go to the layaway line and the cashier tells them that their balance is zero. Store manager Jay Rose told WGME television that for one customer, it took her actually a minute to understand what happened. Then she started to cry right there in the front of the store. Mr. Rose told the TV station that it's the biggest layaway payoff he's ever seen. The store's layaway balance, though, is still about $25,000. The couple wants to remain anonymous. Their $10,000 gift, by the way, paid for about 100 layaway accounts. According to WGME, the couple says they want to match donations that others make toward Toys R Us layaway accounts. For Jennifer Kashenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.